In the studio, I have our kaumatua, Sean Allison. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, morning.
And welcome to the studio. Now, so we want to talk a little bit about Matariki because there's a Matariki New Year's Eve party at the club on Friday night. It's tomorrow night at the moment. The show gets replayed the next morning as well, so keep everyone up with the play. So should we start off with... Actually, start off just for... Especially for Pākehā people who aren't too familiar with or the connection to the Māori community, how you fit in as kaumātua and all that sort of thing?
Well, I've lived here all my life.
Yeah.
For a start, my father shifted here. He was a doctor.
I think a lot of...
For about 45, 46 years here.
Yeah, a lot of people will remember Dr. Allison.
So just really through a lot of involvement with the local people in the marae. My own background, whakapapa, on my father's side, goes back to Taranaki and South Island, Ngaitahu, and also Ngāti Porou on his mother's side. He also links back into Maniapoto. And my mother's side, she came from Rotorua, so it's Te Arawa, Tūwharetoa and Raukawa, a bit of Tainui in there as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So all sorts, all over the place.
Yeah. Sounds like my own history.
Mm.
You go back all different parts of Europe.
Yes, I've got a bit of that too.
A bit of that too.
Yeah.
All right. So they. What time are events kicking off at the club tomorrow night?
Well, the doors opening for the event. Well, they open all the time anyway.
Yes, yeah, of course.
There's no cover charge tomorrow night. So it says on the pamphlet 6 p.m., but probably kick off about 7.
Okay, all right.
Around about with karakia, with a prayer and a greeting.
Yeah.
And then the entertainment will begin.
Okay, now it says, all I've read is that there'll be some Māori groups performing. What form will that take?
That'll take the form of us. We were hoping to get the kids down from the school, but unfortunately... with everything that's going on at the moment, they're unable to attend. So it's us, whoever is there, we're the group.
Okay. All right, and then I think it's 7 p.m. they said that's when the... So the timing was going to be at 7 p.m. the under-18s would leave, and then the party starts, and there's some bands and DJs and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
And you're at this stage, you're planning to be there to close at the end at midnight?
That's right. That was our original plan. And,
okay.
We'll gauge it on how things are going during the night, but I think that's probably appropriate just to bring everybody's focus back on what the event is about.
Okay. And we were talking off air before. What is the actual day for Matariki? I was confused. I thought it would be the same as the solstice, but it's not. As my kids just come in the studio. So what is the correct day for Matariki?
Well, it's a moving date, a bit like Easter, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because it depends on the rising, of course, of the stars. The group of stars, Matariki.
Yeah.
So traditionally, it was waited for the rising of the stars. Puanga was also another star that marked the rising, but that rises just before Matariki.
Okay.
And then waited for the first new moon after that rising.
Okay, right.
It can range anywhere from the beginning or even the end of May through to what it is now, the end of June.
Okay.
But around that winter solstice period.
Okay, yeah. So you have quite a range. So Māori astronomers back in the day, pre-European times, were they looking out for those stars to rise?
Yes, yeah. They were.
Had they calculated about when it would be? I don't know what sort of calendar used to work back then.
The thing is, in those days, they spent most of the time outdoors anyway.
Yes.
So their eye was in the heaven all the time, every night.
Yeah.
So they knew how the stars were moving, and they knew how long approximately Matariki would be absent for. So within a couple of days, 2 or 3 days from what the writings that my uncle left, my mother's cousin Harry Danzy, he spoke with one of the elders of her wife's people in South Taranaki, and he spoke to him about the events that he witnessed as a child down at a beach in South Taranaki, and they'd sit outside for 2 or 3 nights waiting for the rising of the stars of Matariki.
That means it's a fairly significant event in the lives of the people then.
Yeah. And so it's as soon as the stars rose, then the karanga would go out, the wailing would begin. And they would have a small hāngi prepared.
Yeah.
And they would uncover the hāngi, and the steam from the hāngi and the aroma, the scent, would rise into the heavens and strengthen Matariki, because she'd been absent for this period of time.
Yeah.
So,
So sort of 3 days waiting, and you're right about how people were much more outside then. I just realised that I remember the first time one of my children actually saw stars, and it was, you know, they were a few years old by then. I don't know, maybe 2 or 3, and it sort of made me realize. Yeah, it made me realize just how much time we spend inside, and sometimes how hard the stars are to see. I was out on the beach at the solstice, and even though it was a clear night and there weren't any lights around us, you could still see the stars on the Auckland side and the Hamilton side were still hard to see. It's quite different. I don't know where you go now to get to see the night sky as it should be.
Yeah, light pollution is a big one, and pollution in general.
Yeah.
We can shield the stars. We had a group of young African-American kids came over.
Was that for a rugby tour?
That's right.
There was a film about them that was played last year.
They came over a few years ago and from Los Angeles, and pretty much the whole lot of them had never seen the stars.
Wow.
Because it's just covered with smog.
Mm. And so they stayed at the Corkery Centre, didn't they?
Yeah. So they were amazed. Every night they sit out and look at the stars.
I remember my daughter was carrying her like in my arms because she was about 2, and she just looked up and she said, "What are those?" And then she said, "Can I have one?" I think she thought I could reach up and get one. So, okay, so you've talked about the people used to wait to see for Matariki, and then a hāngi would start. And what else? Would anything else happen to celebrate Matariki?
That's one of the stories that I've heard. sometimes it wasn't as formal as that.
Yeah.
We were talking about Matariki just a few weeks ago at the marae, and Uncle Tex Rickard recalled when he was young, and that it wasn't really marked as such. There was no real ceremony, no real hoo-ha as such.
Yeah.
There may have been with some of the elders, but it marked the time that you went out into the gardens and you turned to soil. Not to plant, but just to turn the soil, because of the weather, the coldness, the frost, it would kill the bugs.
And
then your soil would be ready for planting in another month or two.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those things as well. It's definitely a time of reflection. Reflection on those who have passed away in the previous year.
Yeah.
Sometimes people would name those people that had passed and wail for them, remember them, remember events of the past year, and then look forward to the new year and what the new year had to bring. So I think in that way, with everything that we've been through as a community, it's quite ideal to have this at this time, and with Chasm deciding to come along as well.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of different ways that they celebrated. I know that Andre over here at Matapihi is having a Matariki celebration centered around kites.
Okay.
And kites was another way that the old people celebrated the reappearance of Matariki flying kites.
Well, I'm actually going to be talking to her, and it's just after you this morning. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. And so she can explain that.
Yeah.
And but also, in terms of the Clowland, you know.
I'm just going to put that off because I don't have anyone to answer my phone.
Pretty much, you know, for 10 months of the year, the old people were involved in the gardens and planting and tilling soil or anything like that and harvesting. And so by the time of Matariki, all the harvesting had been completed. So all the food stores, the pātaka were full of kai. And if you think about you know, that time of the year, this time of the year, it's very cold, especially when you've you know, we haven't got the luxuries of didn't have the luxuries of what we have today.
You know, electricity.
And yeah, sometimes, you know, people can get down, as we do these days. So it's to me, it's in that sense, it's also an ideal time of getting together as a social group, you know, as whānau, as a hapū, as a community, and celebrating as one. Remembering the past, yes, but leaving that there and looking and celebrating where you are and looking forward. So because your food stores are full, you can have a great hākari. So that's what you did. You had a big hākari and a celebration.
So the New Year's Eve party tomorrow night is very much in line with that tradition.
That's right. Reflecting for a moment and then looking forward and celebrating where we are.
Yeah. So has Matariki been kind of growing in the last few years or decades in significance in people's minds?
It is, and a lot of that is due to education. People are being educated about it. And the government's come on board as well, and they tend to be pushing it as well.
Yeah.
Matariki, as a marker for the new year, wasn't universally accepted throughout the tribes.
Okay.
Different tribes had different understandings, so they looked to different star groups.
Okay.
So as one of the stars that I mentioned earlier was Puanga, which is at Rigel, I think. If you look at Orion's belt, Tauturu is what we call it in Māori, the three stars in the line. There's a bright star above it. That's Puanga.
Okay.
So Puanga would be seen just a little bit before Matariki, because Matariki is a bit fainter. You can't really see it as clearly.
Okay.
But Puanga is quite a bright star. So some groups would, some tribes would look to Puanga instead, such as my people from Ngāi Tahu down south.
Okay.
They call it Puaka instead of Puanga.
Is that still down south? Do they still stick to that? Or
well, it's as with most of the tribes around the country, some of those traditions are being revived. Revived in the sense that's that fits with today's society. Just like us going into the Raglan Club and celebrating there, which traditionally would be down outside.
That's pretty cold outside.
Yes.
That's the first thought I could see a lot of people having today. No, I'm going inside.
You light a fire.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. That's true. That's pretty obvious. So that's all kind of changing. It's interesting. for me, it's something I've not thought about, but it's made me realise that every culture in the world has always, pretty much, or seems to be, has had this kind of celebration at this time of year. And it's only because we're a culture that's dominated by the European kind of system that we have all the stuff around Christmas and New Year. So, I mean, what were there traditionally things happening around that time of year as well? I'm kind of curious now.
Christmas, New Year.
Well, just that, like, that's the date when the longest day is. So,
yeah. Well, you had your other activities of the pa and the marae life, you know, the gardens and all that sort of stuff. It wasn't that date wasn't viewed, you know, with any real significance as it is in Europe, and as it is here now as well, because it's a different calendar.
Our
calendar start so. Saturday with the rising of Matariki, in essence, would be the 1st of January.
Yeah.
And you count on from there.
Yeah. So the European calendar doesn't have anything in particular in the middle of summer up there. All right, well, look, that's good to get a little bit of background. And if people want to find Matariki, the cluster of stars, where should they be looking?
Well, I'm not sure whether they're going to see it on Saturday morning. The forecasters tell us that the first rising for this year will be Saturday morning, the 28th of June.
Yeah.
So it will be before dawn, of course, before the sun rises, otherwise you won't be able to see anything. But pretty close to dawn, in the eastern sky. It's probably easier to wait for a little while until Matariki rises a bit higher into the sky, and then it's much easier to see.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you looked at so maybe take that point again from Tautoru or Orion's Belt. Some people call it the pot. You got Puanga above. You in the night sky. You look to your left.
Okay.
And you go across there to the left, and you'll see a tight group of stars, and that's Matariki.
Okay.
So Matariki, in essence, it's actually hundreds of stars, but you know, with the naked eye, you can maybe make out seven.
Okay.
In the Māori eye, where there were seven, so there's seven names. If you look on that poster, there's seven names.
Oh yeah, I can see a poster over there. Yeah.
And that's so. Those are actually the Māori names for the stars of Matariki. Matariki is the big one.
Yep.
And then you have Tupuanuku, Tupuarangi, Waiti, Waita, Waipunarangi, and Urirangi. And if the same with the Greeks, you know, with its Pleiades in Greek, and they all, the stars all have names.
Yeah.
In Japanese, is Subaru.
Is that right? So that's what that company's logo was stars.
Yeah, the logo is Matariki.
Right.
Yeah. So it's amazing. All over the world.
Yeah, certainly is. Okay, well, look, thanks for coming in, and we'll just remind people that doors officially open for the party at 6, even though they're already open.
Yeah.
And events will get underway 7, was that right?
That's right, around about. Yeah. Raglan time.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Sean, for coming in.
Okay, you're welcome.